The man is dressed similar to Samjace and exudes great love and friendliness. Samjace climbs out of the vehicle and hurries over to the man. They embrace and kiss each other. They talk in a strange language as Maya walks over to them. The man has a roguish smile as he looks at Maya attentively. Samjace introduces the man as her father. Maya is surprised by this and they shake hands. Her father says that it is a great pleasure for him to see Maya there. Samjace has reported very much about him. He welcomes Maya and Maya thanks him. Samjace's father embraces Maya, who is unable to speak. The man tells Maya to call him Tua, for that is his name. See section 4.3.3 for more information about Tua. Maya and Tua then speak in modern Greek. Tua tells Maya that they have already begun their flight to a transit position. Maya looks outside of the dome and notices the star constellations slowly changing. The three of them sit in comfortable chairs within the horseshoe-shaped cockpit. The viewing screens show stars, planets, nebulas, and many other things. Outside the dome, the constellations are now hurrying past them and Maya asks how fast they are traveling. He is shown an instrument with indicators that indicate velocity and he is able to determine their speed as 289,000 kilometers per hour. Maya sees a very large object through the dome and is told that it is a comet, which will soon be discovered on Earth. They travel for another 30 minutes and then travel through time to another far away system. They will use hyper space, which paralyzes space and time. Maya tells Tua that he was under the impression that he would be meeting an IHWH and asks when he will meet him. Samjace and Tua both start laughing and then Maya is told that he has already greeted him. He comes to realize that Tua is the commander of the Great Spacer, an IHWH, and a good god, in person. Tua assures him that he is not the mighty tyrant of ancient times on Earth. Hyperleap 500 light-years from Earth near Pleiades. Tua interrupts their discussions because they have reached the point for transmission. He and Samjace turn towards an apparatus and screens suddenly start to come alive with little bodies of light glowing and dimming. Maya hears a tone that sounds like a very silent and calming singing of metal. He looks through the transparent dome and sees stars rapidly passing by and then suddenly blend into a milky white turbulence. This lasts only a fraction of a second before the stars are seen again rapidly passing by at a decreasing speed. During this time, Maya felt a very deep calm inside of himself. Samjace says something, but Tua calls for silence. Maya asks about what has happened, if anything has gone wrong or if any damage has occurred. Samjace tells him to look through the dome and tell her what he sees. Maya is astonished to see completely different star constellations, which are all new to him. She says that they have completed the first hyperleap. He asks where they are now and is told that they are about 500 light years from Earth. Samjace points out a cloud of stars and says that it is her home world in the Pleiades. They are 211 million kilometers from the nearest star. They cannot come any closer because they need a secure distance of 153 million kilometers to transfer once more. Maya says that he is overwhelmed. Photo screen brought to control center by an android. An android appears with the photography apparatus from Samjace's ship. It places the device into a rack and points it. Then, it talks to Maya in a language that he does not understand. Samjace says that it wishes him good success. Maya cannot believe that it is able to think and respond on its own, but success. Maya cannot believe that it is able to think and respond on its own, but he is assured that it is so. Samjace says that its body is half organic with a chemical brain. Tua assures him that he will soon understand and think of everything as normal. Maya takes photographs through the apparatus and hopes they come out clearly. Hyperleap to Orion Nebula, 1,800 light-years away. Tua tells Maya to look carefully at the stars because in exactly 9 seconds, they will make their next leap. Maya looks up and experiences everything the same as the first time. For a fraction of a second, he feels a deep tranquility once again and everything becomes more familiar to him. Tu announces that they have arrived at their destination. He points out a fog-like formation that is known on as the Orion Nebula. They are now 1,800 light-years from Earth. Maya takes more photographs. Hyperleap to Crab Nebula, 3,150 light-years away. Their next destination is to a destroyed sun, which took place about 1,000 years ago when it changed into a supernova. It only exists now as a giant nebula. Its distance from Earth is 3,150 light-years away. It is known as the Crab Nebula. Once more, preparations for the Hyperleap are performed. But this time, Maya watches Samjaysantu as they turn into a milky, glistening mass along with everything else for a fraction of a second. Then, everything returns to normal again. The deep feeling of tranquility this time is much stronger than before. Maya believes that this peace is the timelessness of eternity itself, where the outer influences of restlessness, insecurity, sorrows, and problems no longer burden the spirit. For that fraction of a second, he recognizes himself as consisting only of the finest kind of matter that is completely free of everything that influences him in material form. It took Samjace 3 attempts before she was able to get his attention. Tua has read his thoughts and is astonished to find that he has reached new important concepts. He states that it takes a longer time in fine, material existence for many pleasurans to reach these concepts. But now, Tua directs Maya's attention to their destination in the Crab Nebula. Still deep in thoughts, Maya takes more photographs. His thoughts remain in the eternity and he is able to see it as being greater and more powerful than words can describe. He decides to watch himself during the next leap to see if he will also grow hazy into a milky mass and determine if anything will happen to him or in him. To assures him that he will be able to find what he is looking for. Hyperleap to Horsehead Nebula, 1810 light-years. A few seconds later, Maya watches himself and is no longer able to see his body. This only lasts for another fraction of a second, which Maya can tell by his watch. Tua announces that they have arrived at their next destination, known as the Horsehead Nebula, which is 1810 light-years from Earth. Samjace explains that distances are no longer a difficulty for them. Because they are able to leap through space, they do not need to steer a course around objects in space. Maya only partly pays attention to her words and is absent, minded as he takes some more photographs. Hyperleap to the Eye of God, Ring Nebula of Lyra. Soon, Maya experiences the touching of eternity, but he is unable to reach deeper into it. All is suddenly blocked to him because of the short actual time. He decides that the fraction of a second is not enough time to experience it completely. Tua has read his thoughts again and informs him that, if he desires it, they can retard the materialization effect for several minutes during their great leap to the barrier of the universe. To do this, they will travel into the future and the lost time cannot be rescinded. In this form, time will not become paralyzed. They must live during that time, submit to it and let it pass by. 5 seconds of normal time will pass for every second that they are in eternity. This is possible because they can regulate the time between dematerialization and rematerialization by the effect of speed. But, there are limits. A single second of timelessness amounts to many million years in normal space. If they were to penetrate timelessness at an insufficient speed, then they would never see their home worlds again. If they were to remain in timelessness for only a few seconds at a lower speed, millions of years would pass and Earth would disintegrate into dust while they would be only a few seconds older. Tua tells Maya that although this may seem unintelligible and fantastic to him, it is true. Even the Pledgerans only know a few of the vast secrets involved with this and continuously search for further understandings. They are only at the beginning stage of developing this technology. However, they are able to allow Maya to step into eternity with the Great Spacer. For him to have the desired experience, they will need a time of 7 minutes for the leap, which will increase in normal space by fivefold. This means that, while they will only spend a millionth of a second in timelessness, 35 minutes will pass in normal space. Everyone in the ship will grow older by exactly 28 minutes in addition to the 7 minutes of the delayed timelessness. Maya feels like he is slowly becoming mad and does not understand all that has been explained to him. Yet, he tells Tua that he would like to witness this experiment. Tua says that it will happen. But first, they will navigate to some special places. Once Maya has taken his photographs, they prepare for another hyperleap to the equator, which is 5,600 light-years away. During this leap, Maya looks into space through the dome and sees gigantic gaps through the black of the cosmos that is surrounded by numerous stars. Then, he sees a monstrous eye far off in space and realizes that this must be the ring nebula known as Ihmata, or the Eye of God. Samjay says that it is unmistakable. Maya agrees and says that it is huge. She reminds him that she has already explained the origin and cause of the formation. See section 6.1 for a complete description of Aryan history. Samjay says that for the Plegirans, this is a symbol of a wicked thirst for power and ambition that resulted in hate, delusion, and destruction. This was the original home of the human race and it only serves now as an image of great importance. Maya takes more photographs. A series of several hyperleaps, 20 seconds apart. Preparations are made for several further leaps. Maya will only have 20 seconds to take pictures between each leap. He is told to notice the sequence of the leaps for labeling his pictures. Tua directs his attention to the Rosette Nebula, or M57. He says that their next destinations will be to M17, or the Omega Nebula, M16, M27 known as the Dumb Bell Nebula, NGC 6781, NGC 7293, and NGC 7089. The last two can be seen from Earth in the Aquarius constellation. The last one is 47,000 light-years from Earth. The last leap will be to the Andromeda system, which is about 2.2 million light-years in distance. From there, they will conduct the Great Leap to the Universal Barrier, where Maya will have the 7-minute experience of timelessness. Tua and Samjay turn to the equipment and prepare for the leaps. Again, Maya experiences the alternating hyperleaps with changing constellations and other things. Between leaps, he is occupied with taking pictures. After photographing the Andromeda system, Maya learns that they are at the starting location for the Great Leap. Preparation for the Great Leap into the Eternity. Samjay tells Maya that within a few minutes, they will leap for 7 minutes into eternity. The sentiments are quite different there than in normal material life. It will not be possible for them to receive his thoughts and emotions because they too are still on the way of evolution towards the spiritual. As a result, they will not be able to retransmit his thoughts later so that he can write them down. But, he is informed that there is still a chance for this by technical means and he agrees to it. He is shown small cabins beside the screens that are equipped with all necessary instruments for recording his feelings and thoughts. The helmet inside the cabin detects his brain's impulses and stores them into a computer where his words will be reported to him later. All that is needed is for him to sit in the chair and place the helmet on his head, which will adapt itself automatically. Maya does this as the journey begins in 23 seconds. Hyperleap, Maya's ecstatic experience. At first, all that Maya can see is a milky, white mass. All the stars have merged into glowing whiteness everywhere, just like he has seen before on previous hyperleaps when the Plegirans took him on journeys throughout the galaxy. But now as the experience continues, the milky whiteness disappears and all is utter blackness. This time, he is being allowed to stay in a hyperspace state for 7 minutes. Then everywhere, there is golden light. A brilliant glowing light that is like all the suns of the universe shining together, and this wondrous light does not hurt the eyes. This is the glistening light of eternity. Maya describes his experience in this way, how utterly magnificent. Wonder of wonders. Only this eternity exists. There is no other than eternity. There is no time, only this glorious magnificence exists. And what is this? It is love, love, love. Only love exists. All is love. Oh, what peace, what love. I exist, and yet I do not exist. This is all so incredible. I am so full of love, so deep and so profound. Eternity is I, and I am also in eternity. I am a human being, a visitor in the eternity. What now? Only light. I can see nothing but light. But I don't see anything with my eyes, yet I see, and I don't hear with my ears, and yet I hear. Now I know I am eternity, I am infinite love. I am not a human being. I am beingness. I can feel that I am alive. Even though I do not have my senses, I still exist. And I exist as such peace, such love, and such infiniteness. I am being called. Who calls for me? The light. The light is calling me. This is so wonderful that I want to remain here forever. I don't want to be a human being. I don't ever want to leave this deep love. This is true existence. Now I understand who I really am. I am pure existence. This is where I belong. My old life as a human being seems so distant, like a dream. Now I feel like I am eternity itself. Material life is just a dream. Here is reality. And death? Death does not exist. Spirit never dies. Now I am I. No more do I care about material life. This glorious light of love, this wondrous eternity is my home. And this home is oneness. No more do I perceive the many. Now, only the great unity exists. And I am that. I don't fully understand all this. How can I be thinking of me as ever having been separate from this great wholeness? That way of thinking must have come from my life as a material being. Now I dissolve into pure existence, into eternity, and all that I can feel is wholeness. I am simply consciousness. I am absolute being. I am infinite love. All is calm. All is peace. Why do not people on earth understand this? Why do they search for love in foolishness, in falseness? Why am I even thinking of that, when I am experiencing such blissful oneness? I understand. Eternity cares for itself. It observes humans and wants them to know the truth of eternalness. But humans are so ignorant of the truth and are so misled by the cult, like religions of earth. There is no deity figure. There is only love eternal. Religions are delusions that lead man away from the truth and lead to terrible destruction. Oh, why doesn't man want to grow spiritually and become who he really is, the eternity? And even this level of consciousness that I am now experiencing is not the highest. This is the last step of all spirit levels before the final merging with creation. And that level of spiritual being is infinitely greater and more magnificent than the level I am now experiencing. This is the level of the last stage of perfection before union with the creation. This is the step of awareness of self as truly existing in the great all, oneness. And in this stage of spiritual evolvement, one overcomes all separateness, all feelings of me and mine, so that one merges at last with the source of one's being. One's consciousness is eternity calling one home. It is the call of truth, of all fulfilling love. The creation alone exists, and nothing besides the creation exists. The creation is the truth in the universe. The creation is evolving love and existence. This formless creation is spiritual consciousness, spiritual love, and perfected spiritual being. How ignorant is man to conceive of gods and elevate them to the level of creation? If only man would recognize the truth and the ever-present love of creation, then he too could experience this bliss of eternity. Man needs to advise himself of the truth and use the power of his spirit to evolve into this state of blissful oneness. He must recognize the falseness of all cultic heresies and deities, and he must recognize the way of truth and all fulfilling love that alone leads to union with the magnificence of creation. Only the truth that is the real truth leads to the kingdom of eternity. The word of truth is everlasting because it is of the great A11, oneness. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the words of truth will never die. Oh no! The glistening light is going away. The light is vanishing. I don't want to return to being a human again. I belong in the light. The light is now golden. And now it is silver. I don't want to be here. I want to return to that place of all love and beingness. Now I am back to being me, full of problems, burdens, sorrows, and needs. Oh, this miserable life, why have I returned? I could just cry. If only I could leave this material realm and return to that realm of light and love. Samjace embraces Maya to stabilize him. Maya howls in misery and asks what is interrupting his thoughts. Then he realizes that it is Samjace and he wonders what she is doing there. He wants to know why she is shaking him so much and asks her what happened. She asks him if he still does not understand. Maya finally comes to his senses and feels such sadness. He asks why she has brought him back. She thinks he is joking and says that they are not allowed to stay in the timelessness because they must pass through evolution in steps. She tells him that she understands his sadness because they have all experienced the same thing. They have accommodated themselves to the material realm until they have reached that level of consciousness. She regrets his misery, but assures him that he will overcome it. Maya starts to fade from consciousness and Samjace shouts at him to recover. Tua tells Samjace to quickly hold him. Samjace presses herself against him and embraces him for several minutes. Maya feels her warmth and enlivening spirit. Slowly, he feels his vital spirits returning and becomes strong enough to stand on his own two feet. He thanks her and she smiles at him. Tua reads Maya's thoughts about Samjace and says that his thoughts are very dignified. Then he laughs in a kind way. At the end of the universe, Maya asks where they are now and is told that they are nearly at one end of the universe. The barrier is only a few million kilometers away. Next, he asks why he had so many thoughts while in timelessness. Samjace assures him that he had no more thoughts than in normal time. It just seemed like there were many more in only 7 minutes of time. Although he still felt sentiments while in timelessness, he was no longer himself. He became a tiny part of eternity and the sensations that penetrated into him. Maya says that at first, he was able to identify himself as an individual, but that soon dissolved in the mass of eternity. Samjace and Tua are surprised to discover this. Tua tells him that he must be a very deep thinker in order for him to recognize this. Even for many of their race, it takes several stays in timelessness to be able to recognize this truth. Tua expresses concern that he has come to realize things that should not be revealed to earthly humans, which they cannot bear. Because of this, Tua tells him that he is only allowed to reveal the things that will be transmitted to him later. Maya objects to being muzzled again and expresses concern about them eliminating his memories of this experience. Tua says that because he knows Maya will keep their secrets, he sees no need to eliminate his memories. Maya says that Tua's opinion of him honors him and is told that he is worthy of this honor. Maya tells him to stop throwing flowers at him. Maya asks why they are here and Samjace tells him to allow himself to be surprised. Within 10 minutes, he will understand everything and will surely be delighted by it. He notices that they are rapidly moving through space, but there are no stars here except for one star and 5 small blue points behind it. Tua informs him that it is the last great star in that part of the universe and it is called Galactos. It is twice as large as the Earth and emits a very intensive light force. Around it, there are 11 self-illuminated blue stars, but only 5 are visible to the naked eye. The blue stars are not any larger than Earth, but they are as inhospitable and hostile as the large planets of Jupiter and Saturn. Their huge gravity seldom permits life on those stars and there is no spiritual life there. In the few cases where life exists on such stars, the life is no more than 70 centimeters in size. Also, the atmosphere is different on each star or planet and not all forms of life breathe oxygen. Tua explains that stars are defined as world bodies that generate light and other radiations while planets do not. Life can be found on stars as well as planets when conditions permit it. Maya takes some photographs of the stars. Ask it, huge dull universe spaceship not far away. Samjace announces that they have reached their destination. Mayil looks through the dome and sees an extensive ray-shaped formation with all iridescent colors. He asks what it is. Samjace says the formation is created by a spaceship, which can be seen in the distance in front of a ring-shaped center. This is where our universe ends and the formation represents a doorway into another universe, which is called the Dull Universe. There are human beings in that universe that are very similar to Earth humans. The formation appears as a long tunnel that measures 77 kilometers wide and 1.3 million kilometers long. When Mayil asks why they have come here, Samjace informs him that they will go through the tunnel to the other universe. At the other end of the tunnel, innumerable stars can once again be seen along with the spaceship. Everything seems strangely familiar to Mayil. Then, he remembers that Askit once said that she was from the Dull Universe and asks if Askit was here. Samjace tells him that he should allow himself to be surprised. The Great Spacer moves close to the spaceship and Tua tells Mayil that he is now to be taken to the other craft by Samjace in her beamship. Samjace and Mayil go to the Dull Spaceship. Samjace takes Mayil by the hand to a metal box with a hole in the bottom of it that is about 1 meter in diameter. There is a gleaming blue light coming from the hole, which appears to have an endless depth. Samjace tells him to simply step into the pit and allow himself to be glided down. Mayil is very apprehensive as he jumps into the hole. He discovers that he is suspended in the air before being lowered downwards. He drops faster and faster. He looks upward to also see Samjace following him. Suddenly, they find themselves standing in the hangar with many beamships. They walk over to Samjace's beamship and are lifted up inside of it by its transport beam. Mayil is excited by the thought of seeing Askit once again so far from Earth in a strange universe. He is also sad to think that he must return to Earth and would prefer to stay away, but he knows that he must fulfill his mission. Samjace says that if his fellow humans on Earth were to have the same dedication, then everything would be very easy with peace and love governing mankind. But, if he would like to stay with the Plegirans, this would be accepted and he would be offered that chance. Mayil thanks her, but says that he must return to Earth because he cannot deny his obligations to his family and mankind. Samjace expected this answer. The hangar doors open and the beamship floats over to the other spaceship, which is only a few hundred meters away. They enter a hatch in the side of the ship, which is much smaller than the Great Spacer. Once inside, the hatch instantly closes behind them. They land on the floor of a small hall and exit the beamship. There are only light, emitting walls inside with no other ships there. They enter a nice room with comfortable chairs and a desk where Askit stands and smiles. Mayil is overjoyed to see her again as she walks over to him and hugs him. Askit welcomes him with love, joy, and honor to greet him there. She kisses him and reads his thoughts of amazement. Mayil comments on how beautiful she is and how she has not changed in 10 years. He expresses his delight in being able to see and talk with her again since he thought he would never see her again. See section 6.4.2 for more details about this meeting. Samjace returns a recording device back to the Dulls. At one point during this meeting, Samjace and Askit leave Mayil alone with an assistant to Askit by the name of Nera. She tells Mayil that Samjace has brought a time projectile back for Askit. For 9 years, they have been using a new technology to explore time, travels over immense distances and other dimensions through other universes without the need to open a barrier. To do this, they have used little spiral-shaped time missiles that travel between universes. Because Samjace understands this technology and works together with them, they have directed their missiles to the Earth. 3 years ago, they were unable to find the last missile sent there because of a mistake in their accounting of time. Because of this, the missile landed some 1,000 kilometers more in the east. But, this mistake was discovered some months ago and they determined where the missile had actually landed. Samjace found it and has brought it back for them. See section 6.4.5 for information on Nera. Maya's next journey into another dimension. Askit offers to provide Maya with another apparatus that will enable him to take even better photographs in space.